Well, that's an interesting start to this morning. So we want to bless you guys. So it's great that you're with us this morning. Great that we get to connect on here live. So if you've got your phones with you, look, there's a mini me of me. So you want to get online. You want to get to your Facebook page. We're under the group Father's House. But if you find us on there, we're live right now. So you want to take it, share it to your own page. Share it to your story, and let's get the algorithms working really hot and fast this morning so more and more people get to see and get to be part of what God is doing this morning in amongst us at Father's House. Isn't that a great morning to be alive? Yeah, I hear that. So I want to talk to you this morning like peace like a river. I mean, what does that mean? You know, you think peace like a river, you think a river is quite fast flowing, it's big usually, and it carries a lot of volume of water. But yet in Ezekiel 47, we see the scripture there talking about the river of God that flows from his throne room. And in it, there is health, there is life, there is healing. And so it talks about us getting into our ankles and then getting right into your knees, and then just going for it and getting in. And Victor, I can see, just show me, he's done a picture of that this morning, of the downloads coming from heaven, filling up the waterways, and we are just, as the children of God, stepping in and stepping into a new season. And so a river is quite a powerful thing. So we want to take a look at that this morning, and what does it mean, how does it affect us, and what can we do to be more alive, more equipped, more ready to be the presenters of the gospel of good news, because the gospel is simply good news. So if you're actually involved in bringing good news to people, then you are doing a good thing. If you're loving your neighbor, you're doing a good thing. So we want to look at this and unravel it this morning. And so we'll turn, first of all, if you've got your Bible, we'll turn to John 14 and verse 27. And in there it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace," that's Jesus talking about this, "my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Come on, who needs that today? Who needs not to be fearful about life's circumstances, the pressures? Maybe you're up against a debt that's just surmounting, it's just overwhelming you, and the banks are sending you letters, the debt collection agencies are hounding after you. If you're in that place this morning, just take your time, close your eyes right now, and Father, we just speak peace over that scenario, peace over that debt, peace over that circumstance. And Lord, you are the God Almighty that makes a way in the desert where we don't see a way. So we call you this morning for these people that are struggling to find the way through, to see the way, to have the wisdom of God deposited upon them right now in Jesus' name, so that this becomes a thing of the past and nothing that brings a stirring of angst and just being in a place of turmoil over this debt and over this circumstance, which seems to overwhelm when it comes in like a flood. So we speak against it right now. We call it to nothing, and we call the God of heaven to make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. So we love when the peace of the Lord is upon us, when you just are in that place of like, wow, come on, Lord. And you just enter into that place where you just close your eyes and you turn your eyes towards him. And you just take that time for Holy Spirit to come, to surround you, to envelop you, wrap his arms around you, and to speak words of affirmation over you, to say, "I've got this. Let not your heart be troubled." In the midst of a storm, you have a place where you can go, and that's called the Holy Spirit that lives within you, a place of sanctuary, where you can go find your peace. When the world is rattling all around you, you can step into that place where the Father has you, where he's got you, where he holds you. It's something special that we've got. You know, and in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, it says, "To shine upon those who sit in darkness and shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." So there is a way, there's a blessing that we get because the Lord says he gives us his peace that the world cannot match, cannot give, and cannot be on the same par as the peace that we get from our Heavenly Father. And so there's a blessing that comes with that. And out of that, then we get to, our feet get guided in the way of peace. So that means if there is a way of peace, don't you want to be part of knowing what the way of peace is for your life? Because if you're in the way of peace, then when circumstances crowd in around you, you stay calm because you are standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus, your source of help, your source, your strong tower. That which gives you peace is in you. And sometimes you just need to turn in and dwell on the Father and allow him to bring that to the surface. Romans 3 and verse 17. And here we go. You know, if there's a way of peace, then it speaks about the path of peace they have not known. So it leads me that there is a way and there is a path that is revolved around this word peace that the Lord Jesus speaks about. He gives to us in abundance. It overwhelms us. We can step into it. You know, and there's that song, an old hymn, which is called When Peace Like a River. And it goes that when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So there is a place that we step into as believers that has been a gift to us from the Heavenly Father, that when the sea billows roll and life is just like turmoil all around us, you have got a secret place you can go to, you can step into, and it is a gift for you. So take it and use it. It's there. Even when you don't think that it's there, you can step out of your circumstances and step into that peace that the Lord has granted to you and find that, even if it's only 5 minutes, 10 minutes in the day, that you find that place of security, of peace in the Father, his gift to you. It is a way, it is a path, and we need to learn how it is to find that path and that way and step into it as believers. Isaiah 66 and verse 12 also speaks, for this is what the Lord says, behold, I extend peace to her like a river. So again, that theme of the river that is there, I mean, a river is sometimes a place of peace and tranquility where the green grass is around, the trees are there. You can go and you hear that the brook noise of the water running over. And so you can be there in peace. You can have a picnic and you can enjoy the stepping out of life and being out in the countryside and enjoying that peaceful and tranquility, half hour, an hour, just relaxing with family. And so it's a good place to be in. Romans 14, verse 17 tells us, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Now, we love to be merry and we love to be happy and we love to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit working on us, but it's just not all about that. But it says in Romans 14 and verse 17, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come on, who wants some joy? Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. Sometimes you just got to move. You got to do something different that you don't normally do to shake where you're at and move and get into where God would rather you'd be. And that's on his path and in his way of peace. Amen. So righteousness is walking in the paths of the Lord. It's tuned in with him. It's in his inner courts. It's knowing him. It's desiring to be around him. And then from that, you get peace. Because when you're focused on Jesus Christ, then peace comes, overtakes you. It's already in you, but it stirs up within you and it will overflow. And out of that place of peace, you find your joy. When you find your peace, you can find your joy. Joy is what the Lord blesses you with. He speaks about the abundance of joy in the scriptures, about we are meant to live an abundant life full of joy. And we are. Why do people see us as people that they want to be around? Because we carry joy. When they don't have it, we have it, and we have it in an abundance, because it says, what you've been freely given, freely give away. So we want to be the carriers of the joy of the Lord, which is our source of peace, and give it and teach others that it's important for them to know this God that we know. Amen. Is that not good news today? If you don't know Jesus and you're here today and you're watching this and you've just heard this being spoken about, well, then it's simple. Jesus is the only way to go to the Father. He is the door. And when you knock his door and you open your heart and you say, Lord Jesus, I want to give my life to you today. It's you I want. I've tried my life and it hasn't gone so well. So today I want to make a change. Today I say yes to you leading my life. I surrender my life to you today, Jesus. And you start and you say yes to Jesus and you begin a life journey and peace. Because the Bible speaks when you step into relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the only way, then he says he takes your burdens that you've been carrying. He lifts them. He removes them. He takes them away and he puts them in his sea of forgetfulness. You may remember them, but he says that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed that part of your life clean. He has washed the slate clean and you are starting a new journey. Freedom and peace has entered your heart once you pray that prayer with Jesus. Amen. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Come on. You want the entirety of this. You don't want the bit. You want it all. Entirely. Submersed. Emerged right into it and knowing that you have found the peace of God in your life. And then, you know, if you take a look at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, well, what you see then there is a reference to a scripture in verse 15 of chapter 6, which says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod your feet. That means you've prepared your feet and you've placed your foot shoes onto your soles of your feet. You have created a preparation to carry the gospel of peace. Why? Well, because we've seen earlier that we have got a path and we have got a way of peace that the Lord calls us to walk in. Why? Because he wants you to be the joy carrier. And out of a place of inner peace, you express joy. Joy to others is good news. And good news is what will change the hearts of those that don't know this Jesus yet. And I say yet, because there is a big harvest coming. Amen. When people who don't know Jesus are going to say yes, you're going to waken up in mornings and you've had a bad dream and you'll need to know someone that is a believer in Jesus, because you'll want to talk to them. And you'll want to say to them, how do I know Jesus? How do I get to know this Jesus? I've watched you. I've seen joy in your life. And now I want to be a believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Malachi 4 and verse 3. You will tread down the wicked and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. So again, you see that their feet and peace are interconnected because it's involved in what? It's involved in a movement. You weren't called to be a believer to be sitting nice and pretty and everything go rosy and well with you. Hey, far be it from that, people. We know the reality of that we, even as believers, walk through some of the most dire, some of the most terrible scenarios in life. Just because you know Jesus Christ doesn't take us out of that arena, but it's the peace of God that we carry that helps carry us through. When you know the rock, Christ Jesus, then you have got a firm foundation that doesn't get rocked, and you walk through life's hard circumstances knowing that your Savior died for you and there is a purpose for your life, that what you're going through is a training ground to bring you out stronger and to be better fitted to operate under the banner of Jesus Christ to carry him well. And so in Malachi 22 and verse 40, you know, Matthew 22 verse 44, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. So when you've got a bank cramming in on you and they're demanding payment or they're about to repossess your house, have you got an enemy? That is a real enemy who wants to take from you what is rightfully yours. So you need to tune into the Father in heaven and say, Lord, give me wisdom. I need help here. And there is no other source from which I can get help. Because the world now, because I've missed payments, are saying to me, I'm taking your house back and I'll sell it, and you may not get anything at all. They're going to put you in a worse place rather than trying to work with you and help you. They want to take back from you that which you have had a blessing from the Lord. And it's a time to say, no, that's not going to happen. That's not my portion, because my portion is a son and a daughter of an abundant giving Father who gives good gifts. So we declare with you today that your problems, your scenarios of life, shall not be the outworking of your future, but today is a day when it changes, it shifts, and you change from being under the pressure of that, under that yoke of slavery to that thing that's shrouding over you and clouding your judgment. And yet the Lord says, give it to me. Let me remove it from you. Let me take the pressure of that. Let me carry that. You are in a battle, and the Lord says, I am the one who fights the battles on your behalf. So take that today, that God is your battle. He will fight for you when you think no one else will stand in your corner. So that is the God that you serve. That is the God you know, and it is a great place to be. Romans 16 and verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under who? Your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. When you are on the path and the way of peace, well, then your job is to crush Satan under your feet. You're not to give him an inch. You're not to give him a mile. You stand on him. You crush him, because he is out to steal, kill, and destroy from your life, from everybody's life. He is the devil, and that is his job. We cannot change what he's doing, but we can stand against him, and we can stamp, and we can stand on his head and make him realize that the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom is alive and well on the earth, and we are out to take over your kingdom and destroy you, Satan, in Jesus' name, through the blood of Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Luke 1:79, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. There you go again. To guide our feet in the way of peace. And so when we take a look, I want to take this a little bit deeper and let us explore this. There is a way of peace, and if there is a path of peace, then there has to be some point where we step into that, where the realization of it sinks into our heart, into our spirit, and we get that inner peace, that joy of the Lord, his strength, and we know that we have a purpose and that we are ordained by God and we have the rights to be here and we carry his authority. So let's take a look at it. To give us a little bit of background, we will want to look what happened with Jesus. Now, Jesus in John 12 and verse 3 had a really quite unique encounter. And this lady, Mary, it says in verse 3 of chapter 12 in John, Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, a couple of days later, he has another encounter. But this lady, Mary, felt prompted to go buy really expensive perfume and anoint Jesus' feet in preparation for his departure and in preparation for what he was going to the cross to accomplish. And so she pours out this and fills the room with a fragrance. The presence of the Lord fills the room, that sweet aroma of the Lord. And so she had that encounter where she gave of herself unto her Lord and blessed him as a daughter. So we take that a few days later and we come into the whole scenario in John 13. But, you know, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says here that the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. That's his job. We've clarified that. Now, the end part of that verse, chapter in verse 8, is the Son of God appeared for this purpose. So the Son of God appeared for this purpose to what? To destroy the works of the devil. So if we are now part of the kingdom of God and we are on the same track as Jesus was on, He's in heaven with his Father, but we are the living embodiment of the Church of Jesus Christ today. And our duty, our job is to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Jesus had a purpose in washing of feet in John 13, and we'll see that in a minute. And why did Jesus want to be the feet washer? Well, you got to ask yourself that question. We'll look at that in a minute. What was he anointing their feet to do? Let's look at that as well. So in John chapter 13, if you've got that, let's take a look at it. And it starts off in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So that's a significant verse. Bear that in your mind, that Jesus, knowing that his hour had come. Okay? Verse 2, during the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the betrayer, the son of Simon, to betray him. And in verse 3 is another key part here as well. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. So there is the awareness. Jesus knew that his time was short and he had stuff to do, stuff to lay in place, foundational stuff that would carry on after he had gone and ascended into heaven to be with his Father. So this is a key, crucial point in Scripture where an impartation is given from Jesus to the body of Jesus Christ, his disciples, which would then flourish, go to the nations, and see a church that we are still part of today. Amen. So look at this. And so verse 4, and got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Significant verse. We'll uncover that in a little bit. Then Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now, initially you think, wow, that's harsh words to say to a follower who had given up everything to come after you and follow you. But what Jesus was saying here, Peter hadn't realized that what Jesus was doing here was an actual impartation. And if he didn't take part in the impartation, then he didn't and wouldn't have the ability to walk out what the Father is saying and what he is doing with his church even now today. This was a crucial point in history. Jesus knew he was leaving shortly and had stuff to do. And what he was doing, he was imparting by the washing of feet. And yes, we know the washing of feet was an act of service. It was down to actually showing the disciples not to argue and try to be the lead disciple, but to love one another was the key principle here, and to be humble enough to wash each other's feet in the midst of things. And so in verse 9, Simon Peter then, I think realizing, said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. In fact, wash me all over, God. I'll take it all, whatever you're giving. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For his reason, he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you, knowing these things, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So here we are at the last hours of Jesus with the disciples. He has given them as much as he can and can carry before he departs. And in verse 34, he goes on to say, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Come on. There is such truth and such reality just staring us in the face here. But we need to know, what was the whole point of Jesus taking off his robes, kneeling in front of the very ones who are there to serve him, and displaying such love that he washed their feet? There is a way of peace. There is a path of peace. And we want to be on that. Jesus was just not washing their feet. This was a known Jewish happening. If you entered someone's house before eating, then the servants or even the person in the house would actually wash your feet as the visitor, so you came in and you were clean within his house. So it was a common event. But Jesus took it to a new level because he wanted to baptize. He was empowering his army, and a king who knows he has an army wants to give them all that he has to equip them of every ability to be powerful in his kingdom. So Jesus was, in actual fact, not just doing a feet washing ceremony to show that he was subservient and that they should be the same way. This was deeper. Why else did he, in verse 7, what I do, you do not realize now? Why would he place that into scripture if there was not a deeper depth to the teaching that he was launching over his disciples right there, right then, in that room? You are a kingdom warrior. You carry something of my presence. You carry my peace. You are righteousness on legs in my kingdom. And because of the peace that you have, you carry the joy of the Lord, because you have good news that needs to be delivered. And so part of that is you being out there where the battle is really hot, where people's lives are being bombarded and sin has had a grip on them, taking and whipping them around and messing up their lives with the whole attempt and purpose of destroying their lives, taking the very life that they've had and like sucking it all out of them. What is the job of a believer today? To destroy, like Jesus, the works of the enemy. So what you carry is powerful. Your feet are anointed to what? Carry the good news of the gospel. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How delightful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring what? Bring good news. Are you bringing good news today? Do you want to bring good news today? Because this is what we're about. Who announces peace and brings good news of happiness? Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns? You are a declarer of truth today. It's in you, it's on you, and it's around you, and you cannot help, even by walking down a high street. You are a walking declaration of the goodness of a good father. You are an example to others of the life force that carries, that you carry within you, and out of that comes good news, because you are able to tell people that are in need, there is an answer, there is a way. And if you come with me, let me talk to you about my friend Jesus, who has been my source of strength, my power source in me. Let me share you about this lover of my soul, the one that changed my heart, changed my life, took my hard heart and flipped it around, and now I am one of his. A sold out lover of Jesus. And because of that, I'm meant to love my neighbor as I love myself. So you're part of a worldwide organization and you're a joy carrier. You get to give joy away. You get to share your peace with others. That's why it says in the Bible, when you enter a house, wait, tap the doorpost as you go in and say, peace be on this house. And if you're inside that house and you're feeling that there's an agitation and something not right, well, then your peace is returning to you. And the Bible gives you clear instruction, then take your peace, shake the dust off your feet and leave that house. Don't waste your peace where it's not accepted. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. It is valuable. The Lord has blessed his disciples with it. And because of that, down through the generations, we are blessed. on the same principles that the Lord Jesus was enforcing us, was empowering us, and delivering a clear message of an anointing, because your feet are important to you. And it's that Ephesians 6, you are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Your feet are what hold you steady. So, but also when you walk on ground. You walk on his kingdom. And so you're taking back by each step you take, you're taking back and saying to the kingdom of darkness, not anymore. You got no authority here. You never had. You actually don't have authority. I have the authority given to me under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, given to me from my Father in heaven. I am anointed, I am appointed, and I'm coming after you to do exploits into your kingdom, to rescue those that are broken and hurting and setting them free, because my Jesus is the only way to freedom. Amen. That's our heart cry. There is your good news wrapped up in a nutshell there this morning. You know, and it says in Romans 10, verse 15, but how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Jesus knew that he was leaving the world shortly, so he was preparing the feet of his disciples. He, by washing their feet, was like Mary did a couple of days earlier. He was anointing them. His hands were actually just giving as much as he could give to the disciples right there by anointing and washing their feet in preparation for them taking the gospel message of good news to the nations, to the world. And you are a result of those faithful ones right back at that time with Jesus. So why shouldn't we be the same? We are called to be the same. It is the instruction given to us. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Come on, it's near. It's in you. Everybody you're close to, then it means it's near them too. It's what you carry. It's who you are. Get excited, folks, because you're about to see a stepping into a new era of revelation. So it says in verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Destroy the works of the enemy. Destroy the works of the enemy. Do the works of Jesus. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those with leprosy. Cast out demons. Freely you've received. Freely give. What you've got inside you, folks, is powerful. What your feet are anointed and washed with was an anointing to take you on journeys with Jesus, where you would become the preacher of the word, bringing and releasing the good news of the kingdom that Jesus Christ is here for you. He can interrupt and change your life like you never thought was possible. What has been hounding you, what has been holding you back, the day is today, and the day is the day where you get offered the ability to say yes to Jesus Christ and give your life, surrender it to him and allow him to lead you the rest of your days, to be your savior, to be the one that removes the burden that you've been carrying for so many years. Take it off you. What greater love has one man that he lays down his life for another? He laid it down because you're carrying a burden. He has the answer. He is the way of peace. And he wants to come and remove that for you. And he has given it to you freely, freely, freely. All he requires is for you to say, okay, I see this now. And I'll say yes to Jesus Christ today. Come on, folks. This is good news. Good news that brings you into a new season of freedom with him. Now, we all know that peace in the Hebrew is just going to wind this all up and package this. The word in Hebrew for peace is shalom. Many of us use it, but we don't realize the full intensity and the full underlying meaning of what this word shalom gets broken down into. Now, it comprises of four letters. You can see this here. There's four letters in, oh, going the wrong way. Four letters in this word shalom. The first letter is a description of teeth. Now, teeth is to choose something, to destroy something. The second letter is a staff, in the symbol of a staff, which is a representation of the authority that we carry. The third one is in the shape of a nail, which you drive into something, you attach a nail to something. The fourth and last one is in the shape of waves, representative of chaos that's in people's lives. So break that down into English in terms. What does this word shalom say? Wait for it. To destroy the authority attached to chaos. Do you get it? To destroy the authority attached to chaos. So when you walk around under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of good news, you are out there to destroy the authority attached to chaos in Joe's life across the way, in Sarah's life down that way. When you come into contact with people you know, you are speaking shalom over them, but it is not a word as much as a deliverance of what you carry inside you, expressed by giving it out and giving it away to others to destroy the authority attached to their chaos. Come on. There is peace released, peace like a river. Get in the river. Learn to actually gather the volume of the river and flow with it, because you are a walking powerhouse in the authority of the kingdom of God, and all of heaven is behind you, because it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Does that excite you today? Does that get your juices flowing? Because you are a joyful person, because it's given to you. Righteousness, peace, and joy are the three elements within the kingdom of God that we get to carry, we get to walk out. And out of that source and that river flows what is in you to others. Others will see it. Others will be drawn to it, because the Bible speaks that you are the light of God. A bushel shall not be hidden. A light shall not be hidden under a bushel at the top of a hill. No, it's to let your light shine. You have a mission. You have a purpose, and it is to destroy the authority attached to chaos, to destroy the works of the enemy. And all of heaven has blessed you. Jesus set a principle in place by washing the disciples' feet to actually anoint them, appoint them, and then commission them to go and do his works. A king who knew that he was setting in place, setting in motion, something that would go to the nations, something that would impact people's lives as they go about it in a daily basis, not expecting God to come through you and to interrupt and be part of their life for that 10 minutes, that half an hour, or that hour. I mean, it's like when Winston shared the story of going to pick up Nikki the other week from work, and this guy was close by. They got chatting to him, and they spent right from like 7 o'clock at night talking to this man about Jesus, hearing his story. And that's part of it. You got to listen to people, hear their story. And then they introduced Jesus to him, and this man said, yes, I want this Jesus. And he stepped out of being a human being into being a supernatural human being, blessed and under the authority of Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the gospel. That is why we are around. That man encountered Jesus that night. Why? Because Winston and Nikki were out about doing what they were called to do, sharing the good news and bringing good news. And what did they do? They destroyed the authority attached to his chaos. They introduced him to Jesus, the burden lifter, the taker away of all things that have been hassling them in life, the loss, the pain, the heartaches, all gone and replaced with that deep peace that the Father gives you, that only he can give. He says the world cannot give you this. Only through Jesus Christ is this applicable to your life. And that's why we call you today to say yes to Jesus. Surrender your life. It hasn't been good. Maybe you've had a good life. Nonetheless, you need Jesus Christ. You need him as a savior, because he is offering you an eternity with him after this life finishes. You don't know when that will be. It could be today. So this is the day that the Lord says to you today, now is the time. Ask me to come into your life. Ask me to be your leader. Ask me to be your friend. And let's walk out the next season of your life together in Jesus' name. I want to bless you this morning, just as we finish. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this peace that flows like a river, Lord. And a river goes where it wants to go, and it gathers momentum. So we say, Lord, that when you washed the disciples' feet, you were setting in motion a structure, a kingdom that's unstoppable, a kingdom that will destroy the works of the enemy. And that we speak that shalom over people today, that peace of the Father that destroys the authority attached to your chaos. And we speak that and release that over to you. As you listen to this today, let the peace be that shalom to your life today as you say yes to a Jesus Christ who is the Lord of all, the Savior of the world, the lover of your soul. So we bless you with that peace today. May it rest upon you. May it be around you. And may the God of peace introduce himself to you in mighty ways as he equips you for the job and the task ahead of you to go, 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 and take that good news that you carry inside you, that precious, precious gift of peace that has been granted to you, that you use it for the full potential that the Lord Jesus Christ handed over to you. So we bless you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you all. So remember that these messages are available. And so if you go to www.fathershouse.co.uk, that if you go to the audio page, which you'll see along the top of the screen, and drop down into the year 2021, you'll be able to watch these messages again because they're there for you. They're on YouTube for you to avail yourselves of, for you to take and to share with others. And so if this has blessed you today and you have felt that this is some message that you would like an acquaintance of yours to hear, well, then take a note of it, take a copy of it and send it to them and bless their lives today so that the light of Jesus shines brightly out of you and that we get to see and hear the stories coming back of someone who had an encounter with Jesus and it actually said that that destroyed the authority attached to the chaos in their life. Jesus came in as their Savior. Jesus set them free. And remember as well, when you're on the YouTube videos, there is a section on there that asks you to click the red box saying subscribe. So we're trying to increase our subscriptions. So please, when you're there, get onto YouTube, find FFM videos and actually click on the subscribe button. And we'll see these. This all helps the algorithms and how we actually get out there and get the message out. So it's a great to be with you today. We're going to sign off Facebook here. And we know that Jesus loves you because he first loved us. So there is a whole host of people out there that actually, she's laughing at me. I must have said something wrong. So anyway, God bless you.
He loves them because he loved us.
Well, he loves us. He loves us. He loves everybody. So listen, have an amazing week. May you have encounters with God, even in your dreams. And may you have an encounter this week that leads you to share what you have, the treasure inside, that you get to share it with others, that they get changed, they get transformed, and they begin to see light at the end of their tunnels because of the joy that you carry because of Jesus Christ in your life. God bless.